Lord a great big shout of praise. Woo!
Hallelujah.
There's a mic right there.
I asked my wife to come up with me, and I want to introduce her. And I've always got a song, but I don't always have to sing it. And I've always got a word, but I don't always have to preach it. So a preach gets on her, or Clifton or Jerry or pastor or whoever, praise God, then we'll let God be God tonight. Is that all right? I got a 128-point message. Glad you're excited. Been trying to preach it for a long time, ain't got to it yet. But this is my wife, Christy. I tell you, God's just all over her, and I thank God for whatever's on your heart.
Praise God. We serve an awesome God. So what God put on my heart was Psalms 21. The king shall have joy in thy strength, O Lord. Or you can say, I shall have joy in thy strength, O Lord. And in thy salvation, how greatly shall we rejoice. Man, we can rejoice in his salvation if we don't feel like we have anything else to rejoice about. And thou hast given him his heart's desire and has not withheld the request of his lips. So God puts those desires in our heart. And he gives us the desires of our heart as well, right? He fulfills those desires. And so a testimony, one of my most current testimonies is God bringing David into my life and fulfilling that desire in my heart. I had I prayed for three things for a husband: somebody who was taller than me, somebody who would love God more than he loved me, and somebody who would make me laugh. And David fulfilled all those. He's taller than me. And he loves God. I believe he loves God more than he loves me. If God said to do something and I wasn't with him, he would do it. And he makes me laugh. So God gave me that desire. God put travel in my heart. I wanted to travel for so long. Well, this is the first year, and we've been to England, Ireland, Spain, our first year of marriage. It'll be July 12th. Kentucky, Missouri, Colorado, Alaska. We've been to a lot of places, so I guess that desire for travel is getting fulfilled too. So thank you, Jesus.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, you know, I believe that we ought to leave church feeling better than when we came in. And in the area of burdens, carrying things, we should understand that we can roll all of our care over on him because he cares for us. Amen. No matter what those cares are, we can roll them all over on him. I've been meditating this week on let us lay aside every weight and sin that does so easily beset us, that holds us back. Why? So that we can run the race. You know, God's response, we hear that the wrong way. We hear somehow let us annihilate every sin. Let us obliterate every sin. Let us stomp every sin out and fight it and, you know, carry on. But do you hear what he's saying? Let us lay aside every weight and sin that doth so easily beset us. That's God's whole thought about it. Just lay it over there, because it's not no bother. It's not even important anymore. Come on. Hey, just look at your neighbor right now and say, just lay it over there. What are you dealing with? What's weighing you down? What's bugging you? Just lay it over there. Come on. Man, if I didn't say nothing else all night and you caught that, that ought to give you enough to shout about for a month or two. Just lay it over there. In other words, it's no big deal. Just lay it aside. Everything that weights you down. You know, I woke up the other morning and got up really early and just got up to spend some time in the presence of the Lord. And I just heard the Lord say, shed every weight. Well, I'm going to tell you, not that many years ago, that would have put me into some kind of action. Shed every weight, you know, to get rid of, to forsake, and to get out from underneath all that. And I sat there and let the Lord minister to me for a few minutes, and he just simply said, what I mean is get out from underneath it. Get out from underneath it. You don't have to carry it. Let us lay aside every weight and sin that so easily holds us back. Don't get under. Don't be entangled with the cares of this life. Be in business, but don't be entangled with it. Come on. Hello. I mean, do what you've got to do, but don't be under it. Praise God. Shed every weight. Just get rid of every weight and everything that weighs you down, everything that causes heaviness. And I tell you, the first thing that came up in my spirit is put on the garment of praise for any spirit of heaviness. And I want to tell you, I've tried it in every situation. It works. It works when you're broke and you don't know how you're going to pay the bills. It works when you don't know how you're going to make it through the day. It works when the doctor says you're going to die, not live, and you're going to be in sickness and bad health all the days of your life till you do die. Hello. Now, I got off the bus in New York City in 1988, and the manager of the hotel came out and met me at the bus. We had a team, and we're working on the streets up there. And he gave me the news, your dad has died. And I tell you, heaviness came on me, and I went to my room to be alone, and I was praying. And I heard the Lord say, son, you put on the garment of praise for any spirit of heaviness. Everybody say, any spirit of heaviness. And I thought, will that work now? With that much sorrow, with that much grief, will that work in this situation? And you know what? The Lord had sent me home the week before. I lived in Oklahoma, and I was in Illinois, leaving with the team for New York City, and I listened. I almost didn't listen, and sometimes we don't, but I want to tell you something. You don't have to beat yourself up. I listened, and there was a reward for listening. I felt like God said, go home. Go see your dad. And I drove all the way. I didn't want to drive all the way back to Oklahoma and then go to New York City. But I drove about partway back. I almost turned around and thought, you know, I'm going to go on to New York. But I kept listening, and I went home. And I spent a week with my dad in the hospital, my old hillbilly dad. And he preached the word for 69 years. And he gave me some nuggets. One nugget he gave me, he said, I failed God many times, but he never failed me once. Come on. As he laid dying. And he shared some things with me that I wouldn't trade for anything. And I called all my brothers and sisters, and I told them, if you want to see Dad, if you want to touch him, if you want to feel his touch, you need to come right now and see him. Because I knew this was going to be the last time I ever saw him in this life. And I left. When I finally left, he said, son, I'm going home. I said, I know it, Dad. I said, I'm going on to New York City. He said, you go and God go with you. And I drove, about 35 miles and was crying so hard I couldn't see hardly to drive. And I stopped, and I walked up on the side of the interstate and sat there for a little while. And I got back in my truck and went back for one more night. Come on. It seems like we have so much time for the dead, but we ain't got no time for the living. Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to be nice tonight. Why don't you dress up for someone while they're still alive? Why don't you brush your teeth while they still can smell your good breath? Come on. Don't blame Clifton. He didn't know I was this bad. Seriously, we spend so much time on the dead, we ain't got hardly any time for the living. Jesus said it himself. Why do you seek the dead among the living among the dead? And you know, I went back and stayed one more night. My dad laid his hand on me and blessed me, and I wouldn't take anything for that. And I went to New York City, and when they told me and gave me the word, and I was there in my room praying, I heard the Lord say, you stay in the streets, and I'll reward you with souls. I could have flown home. I could have got home in many ways. But he said, you stay in the streets, and I'll reward you with souls. And he said, you put on the garment of praise for any spirit of heaviness. And all those years I was around my old dad. And when he'd preach a funeral, he'd make me stand up there next to the casket. I always felt kind of creepy when I was a kid about that. Come on. But my dad said the same thing every time. He said, oh, they're not there, just the old house they used to live in. You ever heard that? And you know what? I wouldn't have traded that few days with him alive for staring into that old empty box. Come on. He wasn't there, just the old house that he used to live in. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In just a little while, me and my dad, it took a while to become friends, like a lot of parents and their children. But my dad, he forsook us when we were little because of a message Jack Cole preached. Part of it, God's going to set your fields on fire. God's going to do something bad to you. Something bad's going to happen to your children if you don't go preach the gospel. My mother died. She died a sad death, alone, without him. He always blew in, blew up, and blew out. He was under condemnation, and he was being crucified by the organization he had been with for years because of a divorce and because of a remarriage and for several, many years. And he had preached hellfire and damnation all his life. My dad would turn red in his face, and his veins would pop out in his neck. And I was telling Clifton and Pastor Gerald that I'd hear them old preachers in the front seat on the way home when I was 8 or 9 years old. And they'd be bragging. They'd be saying, "Oh, I preached hell hot tonight." They still had a grunt going. Come on. "I preached hell, so I swung them over hell tonight." You could feel the flames leaping up around their feet. It's getting pretty hot in the back seat. Come on. I always love tornadoes. We have a lot of tornadoes in Oklahoma. Love tornadoes. Love going to the cellar when I was a little boy, because even the preachers were repenting in the cellar. Come on. Come on. And everybody was singing Amazing Grace. But there wasn't any indication of grace in anything that I could see. Come on. My guitar's not working. Got to have my guitar when I run out of anything to say I can play. Hallelujah. But you know, I'm glad that in 1988, I was playing in a bar called the Demon's Den, a nice little friendly joint, Nashville, Tennessee. And I walked out of that bar on the corner of 4th Street and Broadway, and a 15-year-old young man of God walked up to me and said, "Sir, you need Jesus." And man, it shook everything up inside of me, and I thought, boy, I need something. I walked down the street, and Grandma Murray from Paducah, Kentucky was with that same team. She's one of them old, bold, crazy grandmas, not afraid of anything. Slapped the spit out of the devil's jaw. You ever met one of those? Come on, charge hell with a dry water pistol, not back up. And Grandma Murray was witnessing to the prostitutes on Broadway the first time I saw her. She had walked for a little ways, and then she'd sit down. She had a cane, and she'd rest her knees. And she's about 80 years old, and she'd reach out. She'd hook people with her cane and grab them and tell them about Jesus. And we called her the original hooker. Come on. And Grandma Murray hooked me, and I was glad she did. She chewed me out. First words out of her mouth, she said, "Come here, boy." She said, "You don't belong out here. God's got a plan for you. You'd look bad if you whooped Grandma. Come on. You'd look a lot worse if she whooped you, and I wasn't sure which way it was going to go. Come on." But you know what? I'd heard everything those people had to say, but I'd not ever heard it like I heard it that night. Paul said, "Speak the truth in love." I'd been told, "You're going straight to hell." Like they couldn't wait to see me there. Come on. But you know what? The love of God was there that night. And I got a glimpse of God's precious grace for the first time in my life. I'd sang it all my life, but I got a glimpse, just a glimpse of God's wonderful, precious grace. And I made God a promise. I said, "God, if you love me this much, then I promise you, if I fall 1,000 times, I'll get up and I'll brush off and I'll keep pressing towards you. I'll never turn back." Come on. I got a glimpse of God's love. I got a glimpse of His grace and the way that He had made for me, the way that He is for me, the way that He was for me. The only way it'll ever be for me is through Jesus Christ, that He made a way for me where there was no way. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves, it's a gift, not of works, lest any man should boast. I tried working my way to heaven. I tried being good. I found out one thing. I had tried so long to be good. I found out at 8.5 years old I could not be good. Hello. I could be pretty good. I was good for 2 weeks once. Come on. And then I left my room. And that's a true story. That's the reason I keep telling it over and over and over again. It don't change. It's the same. That 2 weeks I was good, I fasted for 2 weeks. As a teenager, I figured if If a fat boy fasts, God knows he's serious. Come on. And I just left my room hungry. I would try so hard. I would do stuff. And it was crazy trying to be good. Trying to be good enough that God would accept me. At 18 years old, I cried and wept at an altar for 45 minutes. And I mean, I felt some. Somebody said, well, you were saved. No, I wasn't. Because the Word of God says, for by grace are you saved through faith. Until you put your faith in God's grace, you're not saved. But once you put your faith in God, once you put your faith in what Jesus did at the cross, and you know that that's the only way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Until you put your faith in His grace, then you're not saved. Hello? Grace don't save you, but grace through faith saves you. When you believe that it's only through Jesus Christ and the shed blood of the Lamb of God, when you know that He paid it all and you're not trying to make monthly payments, praise God, and you walk away from yourself and stop grubbing around on the inside of yourself whether you're right with God, and you understand that when you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And at that moment, you become righteous until you come to that place that all your faith is not in your good works, all of your faith is not in your righteousness, but all of your faith is in the finished work of the cross of Calvary. Until then, but then, amen, I tell you, I'm born again. I'm born again, I'm free from sin, and I don't drink gin, but even if I did, I'm born again, amen. Praise God. There's been a change in me. I'm not the same as I was yesterday. I'm growing stronger every day. Unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I can ask or think. But once He's done exceeding abundantly above all I can ask or think, then I can think it. Then He's able to do exceeding abundantly above that. But then I can think that. Then He's able to do exceeding abundantly above that. And you know what's happening? I'm being changed from glory to glory. I'm able to believe God for greater things today than I was yesterday. Hallelujah. I'm being changed in His presence here tonight. The worship, the time we spent just turning the world off and turning our thoughts off and coming in and entering His gates with thanksgiving, entering His courts with praise, has had a forever effect in my life tonight. Thank you, Jesus. And I know it. And you know what? When He gets through with me, I'm going to be just like Him. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm becoming more like Him every day because I'm sticking with Him. Let me say it again. I'm sticking with Him. You know, I used to sing, and He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own. But I realize that it's a love story, and He wants to hear, and I walk with Him, and I talk with Him, and I tell Him He is my own. Come on. And stir up those things which are inside of me. Man, those many years that my dad wasn't there, I never knew my dad. I never knew him. He was some person. I recognized an anointing. I'm going to tell you a weird, twisted story like you've never heard before. My dad married my mother after he had divorced. Her husband had died, married her, and had us three children. He had children. She had children. Nothing strange yet, is there, the day and time that we live in. But, you know? But you know what? All of the, the crucifixion of a preacher. You know, sometimes the grace given out doesn't come back to you. But my dad was preaching hellfire and brimstone, so maybe he's getting some back. I don't know. But you know, he denied us. He denied to us. He moved and separated from my mother and lived in the back room in the house, and she lived in the front room. We lived in the middle, and it was hell. We knew him as Uncle Bud. We never knew a person named Daddy. Come on. That's pretty strange. We knew that was our dad, and he was so tormented by all that had gone on, and by a divorce, and by he had been the state overseer for 3 years, and he had been known as a revivalist and a great man of God, tent revivals, and what they called a three-state hookup on the radio back then. Big deal. Had preached from 1919 until present day at that time when I was a kid. He was 53 when I was born. And so we lived in this confused mess. I always said we were raised by Christian parents, but not in a Christian home. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I want to tell you, my mother loved God. She was a precious Southern Baptist woman. And my dad was a fire-breathing Pentecostal holiness preacher. I don't know how they got together. I figured that made me a Nazarene. I walked to the Nazarene church about a block away. My dad was very angry for years. And we couldn't wait till he came home, and we prayed for him to leave. It's tormented when you get around tormented people. But I want to tell you, long story short, my mother died. My dad came to a place of grace somewhere along the way. Me and my two sisters were separated and put in homes. My first night in solitary confinement was 72 hours in a little cemented hole in a mental hospital that had been turned into a children's home at 13, 14 years old. And I began to run. And I'd sleep anywhere. I'd sleep in barns. I'd sleep under buildings. I slept under a church one night in a freezing snowstorm in Muskogee, Oklahoma. And I felt safe under there. I'll never forget, I woke up freezing, and I smoked already, so I built a little fire under that church not many years ago. The Lord said, I've still called you to build fires under churches. Come on. We need to build a fire. We need to stir a fire up. We need to get encouraged in the Lord. And I'm telling these things not as a sad country song. And we've all been through something. We've all had an experience. We've all, in one way or another, been abandoned or rejected or something. But I want to tell you something. It's a brand new day. We're not alone anymore. I mean, God said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. His name is Emmanuel, God with us. Amen? God with us. And if God be for us, then who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Man, I want to tell you something. I'm one of the few people on earth that sang a song and played my guitar in a church of Christ and lived to tell about it. Just thought I'd throw that in, see if you're listening. I'm one of the few people you'll ever meet that I'm going to tell a story to make you feel better about every sin you ever committed. I was 17 years old, and I was in that mode of trying to live for God. You ever done that? I was trying to live for God, me and a buddy of mine. My buddy's name was Mike Trollinger. He had an afro. Man, it was about that big. I mean, he had the biggest, most perfect afro, and I always thought if I had an afro like that, I'd be cool. I never stopped to consider that I was 6'6". Hello? And I already had platform shoes. Mod Squad was on back then, but I'm talking about platforms, real platforms. I'm 6'6 with platforms. I was like 6'9". Now I want an afro. And this little Christian woman named Jackie said, I can make your hair like Mike's. I said, really? How you do that? And she said, I just put curlers in your hair. I said, oh, no, none of that. Did you really have curlers in your hair? He really did. He's saying no. Lie, one of you's lying. I take Jerry's word, I'm sorry. But you know, it's funny how an ideal takes hold. You know, that first thought of curlers in my hair. But I went over there, I made her promise that she wouldn't tell nobody. Isn't that crazy? Like if what you hope happens, no one's going to notice. And so she went in there And she put little curlers in my hair, little blue and yellow and pink, with some zigzag papers or something, rolling papers, and then she poured battery acid on my head. That's what it felt like. And there's a knock on the door, and I looked, and it was Mike Trollinger, my best friend. And I ran in, and she had a grand piano, and I kind of got by. I said, tell him I'm not here. And she laughed all the way to the door and opened the door and said, come on in, Mike. He's hiding under the piano. I was just behind it. And there's a picture somewhere. I think it might have hopefully got burnt or something happened through the years. But I used to have it. And I've got checkered, baggy, great big cuff, red and blue britches on. I got platform shoes. I got, by the way, I don't know why they call them permanents. They ought to call them temporaries. But you know what? It didn't work out. Did you ever have a plan that didn't work out? I look like Freddie Fender. Man, that permit, my hair came up and laid right over like a lop-eared dog. And I wrote a song called There's a Picture of Me. You can't deny it when you see it. That's what you look like. You ever go back through your pictures? Or worse than that, you ever go over to a friend's and said, I got something to show you. And you think, if I ever get my hands on that, you'll never see it again. You know? There's a picture of me. I wrote a little song. I wasn't going to sing it, but I'm going to sing a part of it. It says, there's a picture of me, all dressed up like my pastor, looking more like him than me. Makes me wonder what I was after. We try to be so many things that we're not. We try to act like we got more than we got. Why can't we just be satisfied with what we were created to be? There's a picture. There's a picture. There's a picture of me. So far, so good. Didn't know if I'd remember it, but there's a picture of me. With my hair fixed like my best friend. Mine was straight, but his was curly. It looked good on him, but me, oh. Sitting in that chair with curlers in my hair. Told my friend Jackie, don't you even dare let someone see. There's a picture. There's a picture. There's a picture of me. Anybody got one of those pictures? Come on. But this one I like. There's a picture of me. On my knees at the altar. At the end of myself. Crying out to my Father. Won't you please, please help me, help me, help me. There's a picture of me. What do you think? Yeah, we all try to be something we're not, you know. And so me and Mike, we were trying to live for God. We were doing good deeds. We were going around mowing old folks' lawn and going to the nursing home and singing and stuff. And Mike was 27 or 28, I was 17. And Mike came home one day. We had shared an apartment, and he had a joint. Now, a joint is this thing that you put this stuff in, and, well, if you don't know what a joint is, just ask Jerry. She saw one in Time magazine one time. I don't know if she ever saw any or not. But Mike came home with a joint. And he said, Dave, he said, this guy came running up and gave me this joint. And I said, wow. And he said it backwards, wow. I said, what are you going to do with it? He said, I don't know. He said, I've been praying. We've been praying God meet our needs. And we had been. Now, we was messed up. You don't want your kids to hear this. Now, you can send them out. But he said, what do you think we ought to do? I said, well, let's pray about it. Have you ever prayed about something you knew was wrong? Come on. I mean, it's Saturday night. We might as well just sit here and talk and enjoy ourselves. Praise God. I wonder what everybody, I'd just like to know the story of every 30 people in this room, however many there is, what y'all were doing 30 years ago, 20 years ago. Come on Saturday night. Probably in prayer by now. Most of us. Anyway, so we laid hands on the joint and prayed over it. Oh, God. Thank you for this joint, Lord. Bless it and sanctify it to the use of our bodies. And Lord, if it's not your will for us to cough a buzz, don't let this joint have any effect on us of any kind. Now I want to tell you something about me and Mike. We were under so much condemnation already that no matter what anybody said, there wasn't anybody talking about grace. We were under so much condemnation already, we knew we were going to hell. as good as we were trying to be, because we had been so totally convinced that we were going to hell. That we knew, even though we were trying to be good, we knew we were going to hell. So we smoked that joint. Evidently, God wanted us to cough a buzz because that was some bad weed. And we went to church. And the problem was we went to church in that state, and it was New Year's Eve. I don't know what New Year's Eve in Kentucky was like, but in Oklahoma, they used to have church for like 364 hours on New Year's Eve. That's stone time. And they had five altar calls that night, and me and Mike got saved five times and still knew we was going to hell. I mean, we were messed up, and the little grannies and grandpas were laying hands on us, praying for us, and they talked kind of oaky, you know, a little bit strange, different than Southern, but still real, real country. And they were saying things to me and Mike like, "God's called you boys to preach." We thought, no, you don't understand. God didn't call us to preach. God don't call someone like us to preach. And we got saved five times, not counting the times we got saved in the pew. We sat there and repented all night long. And Clifton was talking about he hadn't repented in 20 years or whatever. And, man, we were repenting. And we still knew he was going to hell. And we left church feeling just as bad as when we got there. But we got to talking. We got to thinking maybe if we'd answer that call of God on our life, maybe God let us off the hook, forgive us, let us go ahead and go to heaven anyway. And so Mike had pulled a pulpit out of the Episcopalian trash can, and we got it, and we got it set up in the apartment, and we practiced preaching. And I preached and gave an altar call, and it was 100% response. Mike got saved for the sixth time that night. Come on. I'm serious. This is a true story. And Mike preached, and he had the same response, 100%. I got saved again. But you know what happened? If you'll please not think of all that foolishness and hear me, is you know what happened is because we knew that you had to be perfect. We knew that if you failed in any area, in any place, that your name was blotted out and you were on your way to hell. And it was just that quick and easy to lose any salvation you might have got at the altar. And that's what was taught, and that's what we believed. And so what happened was eventually we just gave up. We just gave up. And so finally now, this night in Nashville, Tennessee, I got a glimpse of grace. I want to tell you that's why I shout. I got happy in California one time, and it registered 6.5 on the Richter scale. Amen. You know what? We're the only people on earth got anything to shout about, and we're holding our peace. We ought to get stirred up. Amen. And if you're not saved, I don't blame you. I'd be depressed too. Come on. Or if you're living under that law and that teaching that is a lie from hell. See, when the devil says something, it's a lie. If he says, "Good morning," put your pajamas back on. Come on, because the sun's about to go down. When the devil quoted the word to the word, Jesus is the word. When Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone," the devil came and said, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread." Jesus said, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." So the devil just came right back and said, "Oh, you want some word? I'll give you some word." And he took him up on a high temple, and he said, "Now cast yourself down if you are the Son of God, for it is written that he has given his angels charge over you, lest you dash your foot against a stone." And so the word, even though it was the word as it came out of the devil's mouth, it was perverted and it became a lie. Come on. Why? He was trying to get Jesus to do something foolish. Come on. And Jesus came back again because he was that Hebrews 4:12, double-edged sword. And he said, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Come on. Amen. Then the devil took him up into an exceeding high place overlooking all the kingdoms of the world. And I love this because he offered Jesus what was already his. Because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And he said, "Bow down and worship me, and I'll give you all of this." First of all, if it was his to give, and it wasn't, he wouldn't give it because why? He is a liar. Whatever he says. Now, on the other hand, if God were to tell a lie, it would become truth. Because God cannot lie. So if God were to tell an untruth, and stick with me, but if God were to tell an untruth, it would become truth. If God says you're a frog, then you can jump and holler and say, I am not a gribbit. Come on. So what does God say about us? God says we're born again. Born of the Spirit. God says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So God says we're saved. God says we're a new creation. What else does God say? He says we're righteous. Who am I to say, I'm not righteous? Come on. Let every man be a liar, but let God be true. Oh, I'm righteous, and my prayers avail much. Why is it important for us to know that we're righteous? Because now every promise of God to the righteous is not for some better person down the road. It's for you and it's for me. And the prayers, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. If things weren't bad enough already, Jesus came along and made them worse. Come on. Some old boy had been good for 2 weeks. He had tithed, except for those 3 times. He had been in the synagogue most of the time. And Jesus came, and he'd been keeping the law and the commandments pretty good for a few days. And Jesus said, Moses said, don't do it. But I say unto you, if you even think about it, you're guilty. If you think about it in your heart, if you hate your brother without a cause, you're guilty of murder. If you lust after a woman, it's gender friendly. If you lust after a man, if you lust after whatever in your heart, you're guilty of it already. Hello? So what is he saying? He said, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. Unless your righteousness exceeds, not comes up to, but unless it exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. So what is he saying? He's saying your righteousness is not enough, and neither is theirs. Come on. It's going to take the righteousness of God. Where Paul said in Romans 10, he said, my heart's desire and my prayer for Israel is that they be saved. For I see they have a form of godliness, or they have a zeal for God, but without knowledge. And he said, they have set about to establish their own righteousness. And they would not commit themselves to the righteousness of God, which is by faith. Faith in who? Faith in Jesus Christ. Have faith in God. See, I don't have any faith in me. I don't have any faith in my goodness. That was way back then. I found out one thing in the 60s, late 60s and 70s, you couldn't cut your hair short enough to please everybody. If you had long hair, you were on your way to hell. If you wore bell bottoms, you were on your way to hell. In certain areas with certain doctrines and beliefs. No matter what, I found out the 11th commandment was, thou shalt not be young. Hello. And so I prayed at that altar that night when I was 18 years old for 45 minutes. And when I stood up and I turned around, there was an old preacher standing there with a scowl on his face. And he said, see that you live it this time. Hello? See, here's the problem with that theology. Brother Gerald, I couldn't live it. So Jesus had to come and live it for me. Hello? I couldn't do it. I could be pretty good. I could impress a lot of people. That's what the Pharisees did. But then they cloaked the rest of it. Come on, Jesus said, you're whited sepulchres, you're beautiful on the outside, but inside are dead men's bones. And God loves us. He loved the Pharisees. Did you know that? He loved the Pharisees. He loved them enough to bring it into the light so that they'd realize. Because I want to tell you something. My dad lived by that self-righteous thing for so long until it all crumbled out from underneath him. And it was either go on as a fool and never put your faith and confidence in his righteousness or in his goodness or in his grace and continue to cloak and pretend that you've got it when you don't, or fall on the grace of God and say nothing but God's grace can save me. Amen? I want to tell you, nothing but God's grace can make a difference. It'll always be my theme, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. That saved someone like me, that saved a wretch like me. So that night in Nashville, I just simply said, God, if I fall 1,000 times, I'm going to get up, brush off, and keep pressing towards you. I'm just going to keep pressing towards you. In John 15:3, Jesus declared, now, everybody shout now.
Now.
He said, now you are clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. When are you clean? Right now. Now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. See, it doesn't take any faith for me to believe I'm rotten and no good. But it takes all the faith that he gave me. See, I didn't even have any of that. He had to give me the very faith that I put back in him. Come on. It took all the faith that he gave me. And it takes it all for me to believe that I am what he says I am. And he says I'm whole. He says I'm healed. He says I'm born again. He says I'm saved. Whew. I think I'll just go ahead and celebrate what God says. Amen. Now, it's interesting sometimes that we'll take the word of a liar over the word of God who cannot lie. And the devil says, well, you're not healed. Well, yes, I am. The Word of God says I am. He says he sent his word and healed them. They wanted to cut my leg off in 1997. Told me I was dying with a heart disease that was incurable. Sent me to the specialist. I was sick. I was dealing with the pain and all the stuff. And flew me out of a village in North Canada where I was building a church. But you know what? I was standing on the promises that cannot fail. Though the howling winds of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail, because I'm standing on the promises of God. See, I can give way and accept the report that doesn't line up with the word of God. The doctor said, you're dying. And he said, you're not taking this serious enough. You're going to die. And I said, well, you are too. Come on. And it shook him up. And I said, Doc, I said, you know what? Did you know that we're supposed to be a light and a witness wherever we are, no matter what's going on? Jesus said, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I think I'll just praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you. What year is it? I think it is 2015. I still got two legs. They can't find no heart disease in me nowhere. After two specialists, I went back to the main doctor, and he said, he looked at the old reports. The first report was heart disease. Second report was heart disease. The next report was heart disease. They did some more tests and sent me to my doctor. And he looked at all of them. He looked back. He looked at this, looked back. And he said, where's this heart disease? I said, I don't know. I said, you guys said it was incurable, that I'd die with it. I said, you tell me where it's at. He said, it's gone. And I said, hallelujah, praise God. He said, you need to go get more tests. And I said, help me out. It's gone and you want me to go looking for it? Hey. Don't think that's too silly, because people do it all the time. I've had people tell me, I know something's wrong with me. Well, if you know when you know her, then it probably is. Oh, I know. I've had people come and want prayer, and I'd say, well, here, for a certain situation, I'd start praying healing. No, we're praying that we get a good settlement. We'd rather have a good settlement than to be healed. Thank you, Jesus. I walked around speaking to myself, singing them old songs like, I am healed, I am whole, from the top of my head to the sole to the tip of my toe. 1 Peter 2:24 says, I were, and if I were, then I am healed, I am whole, from the top of my head to the sole to the tip of my toe. I am healed, I am whole, from the top of my head to the sole to the tip of my toe. 1 Peter 2:24 says, I were, and if I were, then I am healed, I am whole, from the top of my head to the sole to the tip of my toe, from the top of my head to the sole to the tip of my toe. From the top of my head to the sole to the tip of my toe. So Payne would say, no, you're not. And I'd say, I am healed. Come on. Yeah. Amen. Just keep on believing no matter what. Oh, thank you, Jesus. So you know what? Man, I'm going to shout. I'm going to praise God. He saved me. He healed me. He delivered me. I'd rather be here tonight in the best jail in the country. Unless I was preaching there. Hallelujah. You know, I'm in nursing homes that have more life in them than some of the churches I go to. I mean, I'm sorry, but it's the truth. I'm in nursing homes, and we got residents in the nursing home. Get up and start dancing, praising God. Amen. Is there any bold people of God here tonight? Let me ask you a question. Because I'm going to get some volunteers here. I need... Four. I need two women and two men to volunteer right quick, just to get stirred up a little bit. Anybody bold enough? Come on, where's pastor's wife at? There's my two men. I need two women. Come on, that love God so much, you don't mind if someone were to say, yeah, come on, you're just right. Glory to God, the water lady. Yeah, see, now you too, the one that was encouraging her. Come on, you'll enjoy this. Come on, darling. Christy. We need one more woman. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Is it Kenzie? Is that how you say your name? Can you come, hon? Come on. All right. Just I'm not going to embarrass you. We're just going to have fun. Amen. We're going to just become as little children. We're going to have a good time. And this ain't old-time Pentecostal stuff, but you know what? It's just new-time celebrations that we're born again. We're freed from sin now. Now, we did this in England and Ireland, too, and I mean, we had so much fun, but we do this in nursing homes, and people get stirred up. And I tell you what, I've had preachers through the years say, how do you stay so busy? I say, I'm not choosy. People need the Lord, amen? And I may do this song in a minute, but it says, so I'm singing my song off of any old stage. You can laugh if you want. I'll just say, seize the day. Seize whatever you can. See, some folks just sitting around waiting. Won't be long now, Elizabeth. I'm coming on. Come on. All right, honey, get them lined up. Huh? Yeah, go ahead. We're going to line dance. Is that all right?
Okay. If you want a line dance, the good thing about line dance is we teach you the moves and then you just try it, right? And you just follow along and do what everybody's doing. So this is real simple. I made this up. You just do...
Thank God don't have a sense of humor.
Everybody face me. Face me.
Honey? You think God don't have a sense of humor? had a dance teacher, you like majored in dance, right? And you have like some kind of degree. Put her with a fat boy like me. Come on. Amen. But we dance, don't we, darling?
Yes, we do. Yes, we. Okay, so it's a grapevine. So it's back, side, front, scuff. Okay? So let's do it again. Right foot. Start with your right. Back, side, front, scuff. Now your left. Back, side, front, scuff. Take that right foot, go forward. Step, touch, step, touch, step, scuff, together, clap.
Now here's a great thing. You can't mess up. All right, here we go.
And you go in four corners, so you do it then this way.
Okay, spread out just a little bit. Do that army thing. Get a little space in between you. Get a little space. All right, here we go. Will Jesus heal my heart, my achy, breaky heart? Now it doesn't hurt me anymore. And since he healed my heart, my achy, breaky heart, all I want to do is praise the Lord. Satan had me bound. He really had me bound. So low that I looked up to see the ground. Jesus set me free. He really set me free. And gave me a new song with a new sound. Ooh. All right, freestyle. Jesus healed my heart, my achy, breaky heart. And now it doesn't hurt me anymore. And since he healed my heart, my achy, breaky heart, all I want to do is praise the Lord. Let's praise the Lord tonight. Jesus healed my heart, my achy, breaky heart, and now it doesn't hurt me anymore. And since he healed my heart, my achy, breaky heart, all I want to do is praise the Lord. Shout with me now. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let all God's people praise the Lord. Oh, lift up those holy hands, shake off those heavy bands. Let all God's people praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let all God's people praise the Lord. Yeah, lift up those holy hands, shake off those heavy bands. Let all God's people praise the Lord. Let all God's people praise the Lord. Ooh. Hallelujah. Now see, religious people and people that just really don't have the faith in God to go ahead and do and respond to what they say they believe. See, I can't help when I'm sitting on death row. And a man walked in and said, I'm going to die. I've never sinned. I've never done a crime, but I'm going to die in his place. Come on. I can't help but get stirred a little bit. And I can't help but wonder about folks that don't get stirred a little bit about that on any night. Praise God. Do you understand that we were all on death row? We were sentenced to die and we were guilty. And Jesus walked in, and he was tempted in every manner like as you and I, yet without sin. And it wasn't that many years ago that my whole nights on Saturday night, there were four sets, 45-minute sets, and there was more shouting and carrying on and dancing. Come on. And partying and go outside for that 15 minutes and smoke dope and come back in. A total stranger walk up and show something. I'm going to do something for the kids. Kids, are you with me? You remember being a kid in church? Wasn't that a drag? Sometimes it was awesome, wasn't it? I'm going to do this just for the kids. How many young people we got here tonight? Thank you. I knew that crowd back there. Come on. Now let me try it again. How many young people we got here tonight? Come on. You're young at heart. This song's Don't Smoke, It'll Make You Croak. Now, I want to tell you something, and it doesn't matter to me anymore, but, man, I've preached 3- and 4-week revivals. And I'll just say, I know how to preach. But you know what? If it's not real, and it was real inside of me, and I practiced preaching, so that anything I could do, the Bible calls it foolishness, the foolishness of preaching. But you know what? If it's washing your feet tonight, it's encouraging. Just let God do something tonight in this meeting. Let God do something in these services. I want to do something for the kids. I'm going to do probably two songs for them. And there's a part I need everybody to help me with. I know Jerry and Clifton will help. And Christy. This is your part. Oh. Oh. Now let me hear you do it. Here we go. Oh. Come on. Here we go again. Oh. Oh. Did you know we were in a school? We've done over somewhere around 200 public schools. And we've broke every rule they gave us in every school about talking about Jesus, about singing about Jesus, about sharing the gospel some way. And so in December, they sent a teacher to us in North Carolina and said, you cannot say Jesus, you cannot say God, you cannot sing any songs that have Jesus or God in them, and you cannot sing Amazing Grace. And I was just pondering in my mind. And I said, well, God and Jesus are not mentioned in Amazing Grace. I didn't even know that, Jerry. I had to go check the words. They're not. But we know who we're singing about, don't we? And so when I got to the school, 525, 30 kids, and principal sent the same teacher up and said, well, since God and Jesus are not mentioned, you can go ahead and sing Amazing Grace. It's December. So I got up and I sang a couple little songs. And I said, hey, kids, I said, there's something special about this month. What is it? And all of those children shouted, it's Christmas. I said, Christmas. I said, now what's Christmas? Over 525 kids hollered, it's Jesus' birthday. And I said, whose birthday? And they shouted, Jesus. I wanted to look at the principal and go, But listen, we've got to do something. I wish you could hear my heart right now. What if I went to midnight tonight? Come on, I drove. I was invited to Charlotte, North Carolina. I drove from Oklahoma to Charlotte, North Carolina. I was tuning my guitar. The people were gathering. The pastor came up and leaned over the stage. And he said, Joel Osteen gets it done in 20 minutes. I don't figure you'd need any longer than that. And all I can say is, how rude is that? I just drove 700 miles, okay? And so I said, well, listen, I said, I always respect and honor the pastors. And he smiled, kind of a smirky smile, though, like that suited him just right. I said, until I get in the pulpit, then I'm the evangelist, and I expect him to submit to me. And you know what? And that was the first time I ever in my life talked like that, because I do honor Pat. I love your pastor. There have been no restrictions, and I'm not going to go long. But I want to tell you something. We need a touch from God tonight. Come on, we need a touch in this community. We need a touch in this nation. My heart's burning for the United States of America, and I travel around the world. And I've been on the Discovery Channel and sang three songs about Jesus on the Discovery Channel. And I sing about him in the schools and in the prisons, federal prisons, state prisons, 9 prisons in England, and all over 59 services in 31 days in the UK. And go until there's no strength yet to go. And Jerry and Clifton know what I'm talking about. They've ministered for so many years, and I've seen them tired. And there's a place that Jesus, the Word of God says, Jesus was weary with his journey. And don't think that this is just some glamour thing for ministers traveling around that truly have the heart of God to reach out and see our nation change, to see our communities change. People need the Lord. We have the Lord. Jesus said that you and I are the light of the world. And we've got to get stirred up. We've got to encourage ourselves in the Lord our God. Because there may not be anything or anybody else show up to encourage us. We've got to encourage ourselves. And so as I sang in this school, and I gave everything I could give, and because the principal came up with tears in her eyes, and thanked me and said, would you please come back? Hello? Right. People need the Lord. And the only hope for this nation or any other nation is Jesus Christ in you and in me and in this city. And I do want you to bear with me for about 15 minutes after I do this song for the kids to let me share a word with you. And I know that God sent Clifton and Jerry. They didn't just come. It's not just scheduling. Christy and I didn't just come. Believe me, it'd be easier to stay home. I am not afraid of a rocking chair. Come on. Amen. I told my son, I pointed at my big old rocking chair. I said, I'm not afraid of that. They invited me to stay in one of the nursing homes in Colorado. And I considered it. I was tired. The director came over, all the people, the little grannies loved me, and came over and said, you could just stay a few days. The director came over and said, we got a beautiful room you could stay in. I thought, this wouldn't be so bad. Amen. In John chapter 4, Jesus was weary with his journey. We get tired. But you know what? I'm so refreshed and I'm so stirred in my heart. I didn't come to get something. I didn't come to sell something. I come to leave something. I come to impart. Clifton and Jerry came to impart something. Don't miss receiving. Amen. What we brought with us. I don't say that in pride or arrogance, but we brought gifts. We brought things. Amen. Children, you still with me? All right, here we go. This is my song. This is my biggest hit, sold 3 copies the first week and kind of tapered off after that. Don't smoke, it'll make you croak. Don't smoke, makes other folks choke. Don't smoke, if you understand and you know what I mean. It makes things turn yellow and your breath turn mean. Don't smoke, don't smoke, it's your turn. Oh. Don't smoke. It'll make you stink, don't smoke. Makes your eyes want to blink, don't smoke. If you understand and you know what I mean, it makes your fingers turn yellow and your breath turn mean. Makes your head look light, no smoke stack. Makes your teeth turn brown, your lungs turn black. Don't smoke, don't smoke. Here we go. Oh, oh. Don't smoke, it'll make you sick, don't smoke. Makes doctors rich, don't smoke. If you understand and you know what I mean, it makes your fingers turn yellow and your breath turn mean. Makes your head look light, no smoke stack. Makes your teeth turn brown, your lungs turn black. Every time you buy another pack, it makes your pocketbook empty like a hole in a sack. Don't smoke, don't smoke. One more time. Oh, oh. Don't smoke, it'll turn folks off, don't smoke. Makes you cough and cough and don't smoke. If you understand, you know what I mean. Makes your fingers turn yellow, your breath turn mean. Makes your head look like an old smokestack. Makes your teeth turn brown, your lungs turn black. Every time you buy another pack, makes your pocketbook empty like a hole in a sack. It'll take away all of your breath. Open up the door to old man death. Don't smoke, don't smoke. Yeah. Well, cigarette is a burning thing, and when I smoked, it made it hard to sing. Well, cigarettes made me a fool, just to think they said that I'd be cool. Well, I fell into a big old cloud of smoke. I went down, down, down. I began to choke, and it burns, burns, burns. That cloud of smoke, that cloud of smoke. Don't smoke. Don't smoke, don't smoke, don't smoke. Hey, don't you smoke, hey, don't you smoke. Children, don't you smoke, hey, 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 hey. Thank you very much. Put that out over there. All right, is that okay? Thank you, Jesus. You know, when we made the movie, how many of you have seen our movie, How the West Was Won? Don't smoke. How many of you have seen the movie, How the West Was Won? Amen. You know what caused me to write that movie and do it was I saw the world mocking God and mocking God's people. And I saw it in a movie, and it upset me. And I heard the Lord say, what are you going to do about it? And my first thought is what we all think, what can I do? But then something rose up in me. I thought, well, I write songs. I can write a song about it. And I wrote a song called How the West Was Won. As I wrote it, I could see the picture. And I thought, man, it'd be awesome if someone made a movie out of that. And I heard the Lord say, why don't you? And you know what? There's so many dream squashers in the world. There's not that many people here tonight, but there's a wealth. There's a wealth of dreams in this room. Businesses that need to be started. Books that need to be written. Stories that need to be told. Don't take it to the grave with you. There's inventions that need to be patented and released. There's great things in God's people, but we've been squashed. We've been stomped. We've been pushed down. And the dream squashers always have a story to tell us about how we can't do it. Hello. Remember how easy it was to dream when we were kids to believe that we could do something. I don't care what it was. Build a spaceship. I dreamed I'd build a spaceship. When I was a kid, you know what I did? Craziest thing, I started cutting the lids out of all the cans I could get, both ends, cutting them open. I was going to put them all together and make me a spaceship out of that and go to the moon. Okay, I pursued that dream. I understand it probably wouldn't have worked. But I believed I could do it. But you know, after a while, we began to gather knowledge and understanding and a reality that God's birthed something inside of us great. There's greatness in every person in this room. Not in just the young, but there's greatness and excellence in these young people. But there's greatness in every person in this room. And there's something that we need to leave behind when we go. Amen? We need to stir the dreams up. And so I wrote this song, dedicated it to the dream squashers. And it's called I Can Do All Things Through Christ. When I was a kid, they told me I'd never play the guitar because my fingers were too fat. My hands were too big. And I always thought, well, why not just get a bigger guitar? Come on. That's like saying you can't wear shoes. Just get a bigger pair. Your feet are too big. So I wrote this song for the dream squashers called I Can Do All Things. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, and I can move mountains, cast them into the sea, and I can be the kind of man that Jesus says I can be, and I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Without a formal education, they said you'll never get too far. Fingers are too fat to play piano or guitar. Well, you think that's mean, you should have seen and heard their doubt speech. When I told them that I heard God's voice telling me I was called to preach. Well, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, and I can move mountains, cast them into the sea. I can be the kind of man that Jesus says I can be, and I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Now I am so glad I believe, and I am so glad I opened up my heart to receive, 'cause I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, and I can move mountains, cast them into the sea, and I can be the kind of man that Jesus says I can be, and I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Sing that scripture with me. Here we go. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, all he strengthens me. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Jesus strengthens me, and I can do all things. 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 Look at your neighbor and tell them, I can do all things. Through Christ which strengthens me, and I can move mountains and cast them into the sea. And I can be the kind of man that Jesus says I can be. And I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Amen. We can do all things. Well, I used to be a sinner in the worst degree, about as mean and rotten as I could be. Everybody thought that I was normal till I got born again. When everybody saw that there had been a change, most of them thought that it was something strange. Few of them believed that I'd been hypnotized or gone insane. They said he got brainwashed. Oh Lord, I've been brainwashed, gone overboard. I've been brainwashed. I sure am glad, because my brain needed washing real bad. Oh, but now every day with Jesus is a joy to me. I'm not as mean and rotten as I used to be. Still I'm far from perfect, so I have to read my Bible every day. When I do, I know that he renews my mind, takes a hunk of junk and makes it something fine. When anybody asks me how I got this way, I just smile and say, I got brainwashed. Oh Lord, I've been brainwashed, gone overboard. I've been brainwashed. I sure am glad, because my brain needed washing real bad. Sing it with me. Brainwashed. Oh Lord, I've been brainwashed. I've gone overboard. I've been brainwashed. I sure am glad, because my brain needed washing real bad. I said my brain needed washing real bad. I said my brain needed washing real bad. It needed washing real bad. Amen. All right. Come on, give the Lord a shout of praise. See, that's the washing. That's the washing of the water, the Word. That's the Word just washing over us. Our mind. Our mind is renewed every day. Amen. Though my outward man perish, my inward man is renewed day by day. And I'm not conformed to this world anymore, but I'm transformed. See, I haven't prayed over the joints since I was 17 years old. Amen. I don't have to struggle with that. I laid that aside. Hallelujah. There's been a change in me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. See, I was just a castaway anyway. But Jesus came by, like in John chapter 9. The Word of God said there was a blind man, and that people passed by every day. He had been blind since birth, and they threw in a coin or whatever the currency was. Maybe got him something to eat. And even the disciples said, Lord, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he's born blind? He said, neither, but that the works of God might be made manifest in him. In Matthew 13 and 44, the Word of God says there was a treasure hidden in a field. Understand, it was a treasure. And understand that it was hidden, not everybody saw it. And a man passed by, and he saw the treasure. And he went and he sold all that he had so he could purchase that field, because what was in the field was worth more to him than everything that he had. Now, that's a type of Christ. But I want to tell you, you're the treasure hidden in the field. And that person with the messed up hair, whatever people do with their hair and the piercing and all the stuff that going on the outward. And I saw a girl yesterday that that had more cuts on her than I could describe. And I got some on myself from when I was in the boys' home. And I've got stab wounds from knife fights. And you know, no one knew. I was just a little Pillsbury doughboy preacher's boy. I didn't know what was going on. All I knew is that the only person that ever loved me had just died. And now I was in a solitary confinement. And I was locked up at 13 years old. And an anger rose. And I came out of the corner one day and I said, I'll never be stomped again. Come on. Those inward vows that we make. But you know, there's a God in heaven that saw a treasure hidden in the field. And where everybody else saw a loser, where everybody else saw a dope head, even the church, you're nothing but a dope head, you're nothing but a drunk, you're nothing but a grief and a sorrow to everybody you get around. But the Word of God says when Jesus passed by the blind man, the Word of God says the disciples saw something wrong and everybody else, whatever they saw. But the Word says Jesus passed by and saw him. See, Jesus passed by and saw something worth saving. Hello. And that's why we shout. That's why I wouldn't. It don't matter to me. Stay all night. Stay a little longer. Dance all night. Dance a little longer. Amen. Throw off your coat. Throw it in the corner. Don't see why we don't stay a little longer. Come on. Praise God. I've already seen TV. My dad didn't believe in TV. I knew it was real. Come on. Amen. But boy, when we start talking about Jesus, I wrote a little song. It was up at Andrew Womack's and out on his back porch. And we'd sit out there and sing and with some great singers. And I thought about growing up when I was a kid. That's how I learned to play the guitar, front porch pickings and backyard barbecues. And no one had air conditioning, so it was nice to sit out on the porch. And I just began to sing one night. And I thought how wonderful it was to hear about Jesus in that kind of setting and learn them old songs. And I thought, we need to have more front porch pickings and backyard barbecues where the topic of the conversation, Lord Jesus, is about you. An atmosphere where love is clear, your spirit man can grow, and where we find God's love and friendship out on somebody's porch or patio. Spent many nights in New York City reaching out for one more soul. Out to California, Arizona, and Ohio, far across the Canadian border, south of Mexico. When I needed strength myself, I found it on somebody's porch or patio. We need to have more front porch pickings than backyard barbecues, where the topic of the conversation, Lord Jesus, is about you. An atmosphere where love is clear, your spirit man can grow. Where you'll find God's love and friendship out on somebody's porch or patio. Amen. How many of you would just consider having a front porch picking or backyard barbecue and get some of your guitar players and people over there? Just sing and have some hot dogs and see what would happen with your neighbors. You know what? We did a cul-de-sac in Atlanta, Georgia, in the fanciest area, a bunch of yuppie people, and set up right in the garage. It was a little bit cold, and this man was an educator and beautiful home, but he's just crazy enough about Jesus to put a fire pit right there in his beautiful, brand-new driveway and built a fire in it. There's a black spot there till today. And I sit up right in the door of his garage and cranked up the music, and here come people. And they gathered, and they drank lattes and wattes and I didn't even know what it was, you know, but they were standing around and it's just enjoying the music. Amen. You know, we're only here for a little while. Hebrews 10 and 30, 5 says, cast not away therefore your confidence, wherewith you have great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. If we'll get the seed in the ground, people will get saved. Come on. Hebrews 10 and 37 says, yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry. And Jesus is coming back. And if he doesn't come in our time, I want to tell you, we're going to go out to meet him. But while we're here, let's dream and let's believe. Let's believe that we can do great things for God. Amen. Come on. Let's believe that we can do it. I stood on the Staten Island Ferry and at my first night in New York City, and I said, God, what do you want me to do? I was frustrated. I thought, what am I doing here? I said, God, these people are weird. I felt like God said, son, you're the weird one here. I was the only one with boots and a hat on. And I said, well, God, what do you want me to do? And he said, I want you to be who you are for me. I don't want your cheap impersonation of David Wilkerson or Billy Graham. He said, I want you to be who you are and who I created you to be. And I want you to do that for me. And you know what God's called you to be? You. The proof is that you are who you are. Isn't that deep? And he wants you to do what you'd do. Come on. That's what I'd do if I was me. You making notes? So I thought, what would me do? And I ran down to the bus and got my guitar, and I came back up on the deck, and I could hear the diesel engines and the water hitting the side of that boat. And those people were all staring at me like, what is he doing? I got my guitar out, and as loud as I could, I said, I want to thank you folks for coming out to see me tonight. And I acted like they all bought a ticket on a showboat in Branson. Come on. And I began to sing, and I felt so stupid. I looked up and saw the Statue of Liberty. Looked like she is looking at me going, stupid. But you know what? We need to step out. We need to do bold things. Come on. Praise God. I sent three of my team into a bar. Now, people kind of get a kick out of that, but I sent three of my team in because I thought, you know, I've been doing this for years. I've proven I'll do it. But I wanted them to get the experience. We were driving. We were in this great big bus. We were doing 10 outreaches around Sioux City, and we were in a little town. We had already been through ministering on the streets that day, and I saw a biker bar and got inspired. And they had the whole street sectioned off this way and a whole block that way and the corner bar right there. And I sent three of the team in. I said, go in there and tell them the band's here and see what they say. Hundreds of bikers and hundreds of bikes out there. They went in, and Mikey walked in there and said, we're the band. And this gal cussed and said, I'm not paying for no blankety-blank band. And he said, well, it's free. And she said, oh, just set up right over there. And we set up right outside the door of that bar. And we could see down this street and see down that street. Had to deal with an old stone drunk biker right off the bat, settle him down. And we'd set up, did a full setup, great big sound system. And finally, I prayed. I said, God, I said, I know I should have checked with you before I did this. But you know what? You're not going to make a mistake. Just do it. Just do it. He already said go. Come on. And so I said, God, I said, what should I do? And I felt like I was supposed to sing that old song. If you see your brother standing by the road with a heavy load from the seeds he's sown, if you see your sister falling by the way, just stop and say, you're going the wrong way. You've got to try a little kindness, show a little kindness, shine your light for everyone to see. And if you try a little kindness of the narrow-minded people on the narrow-minded streets. And I thought I could use a little kindness. And the first biker pulled up on his Harley and he could touch the end of my mic stand from his Harley, and he ribbed it up and drowned me out. And I just sat there and smiled at him. And he couldn't look me in the eye. And finally, he left. The next one pulled up there. Then the next one, five. What are we afraid of? Hello? I'm telling you, God is with us. If God be for us, who can be against us? And he probably won't have you do that. He probably won't have you go to New York City or Africa. But you know what? He just said, I want you to be a light. You know, pretty well everything I've done in ministry, I just did it. I mean, I'm sent. I'm already sent of God. And you hear little old cute sayings like some just went and some were sent. Well, I've already been sent. Uh-huh. I'm here because I sent, not because I need to fill up my calendar. Amen. And the proof that I love you is that I'm here because I'd rather be at home. But what if I could encourage one person tonight and tomorrow night? And no, somebody's thinking, is that boy ever going to hush? Yeah. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, it'll all be over and we'll be somewhere snacking and whatever. But you know, get something. Get something. And you know what? For 3 hours in front of a biker bar, I shared the gospel of Jesus Christ. I shared 35 versions of Amazing Grace. Within 15 minutes, a cowboy contractor from Louisiana came up, tears streaming down his eyes. A cowboy contractor that came to Iowa to do a job got bored in his motel room and walked down to a biker bar where the gospel was being shared and got born again. Come on. Now, how many dots did God have to connect for that? And we ministered the gospel. Those old bikers that caused all that trouble, that took about 25 minutes. I had to sit there through that for 25 minutes. They drove on, and I saw them pull in back down at the end of the street a little while later. And I said, hey, I'm going to do a little gospel music. Is that all right? And this gal in full leather gear stood up and cussed, and she said, you can do any blankety-blank thing you want to now that those blankety-blanks are gone. And that was as good as an amen. Come on. You got to get rid of all your religion. And I just began to sing. I'm just going to do a few of these. I'll finish them up tomorrow night, and I'm going to close. I want to share something with you tomorrow night, and I'll try not to ramble on and sing so many songs. But I've only got about 35 years of songs about Jesus. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Yeah. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear. Grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Yippee-i-o. Holy Ghost riders in the sky. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Was blind, but now I see. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Saved, that is, born again, washed in the blood. Y'all come with us now, you hear? This has been a gospel presentation. Amazing grace, the sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. And I was blind, but now
see. Hallelujah. 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 I got saved. I got saved. I got saved. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
Help me out.
I got saved.
One more time.
I got saved.
Well, I did. Any Hank Williams fans? Got any Hank Williams fans? I'm gonna do cheating art just for you. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less day to sing God's praise. And when we first, and when we first begun, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. Well, it was grace that brought be saved thus far, and grace will lead me home. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. One day I'll rise above the clouds and wake up where the stars are far behind me. God's presence is sweeter than lemon drops. Way above the chimney tops is where you find me. Somewhere over the rainbow, I'll sing my songs someday. Yes, I'll sing praise way up over the rainbow, there with all of God's saints.
I was blind, but now I see.
You said Alabama. Right behind you, Clifton. Lay hands on her.
Lord, I'm coming home someday. Sweet home up in heaven. Spirit, carry me away. Come on and carry me.
Did you ever notice rock and roll don't sound the same after you get a haircut? It's all that. Some of those worked out and some of them didn't. This one did not work out. Hello, I'm short on cash. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear. And grace my fears relieve. Oh, son, how precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Oh, pick it for me one time, Luther. Eat your heart out, Leonard Skinner. Roy Clark. Sue! Don't look at me like that. I told you it didn't work out. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. And I get a peaceful, easy feeling from the message that I heard. And I'm already standing God's word. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining eyes. We've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. And I get a peaceful, easy feeling from the message that I heard. And I'm already standing. Yes, I'm already standing. Yes, I'm already standing on God's word. Sounds like a joyful noise to me. I thought there ought to be one bluegrass. I'm going to do two more, real short ones. And I thought there ought to be one bluegrass, Amazing Grace. This is the best I could come up with. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Amazing grace, amazing grace for you and me. Amazing grace for you and me. Amazing grace for you and me.
All right. I'll stop with this one.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear. Grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Oh, Puff the magic dragon never lived at all. But eternal life is given those who will only call upon the name of Jesus, the one who loves us so, that he suffered death to give us life, to save and make us whole.
Amen. That's a lot of grace, isn't it? Thank you, Jesus. Well, I've got 85 of those. That was about 25. So we won't do the rest of them tonight. How's that? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for tonight. There'll never be another time like it. We'll have good times, and Father, there will never be another night just like this one. And I pray, Father, for your people. I pray for your pastors and ministers. And I pray refreshing, renewing of their strength. I pray for a stirring in our hearts. Father, we've been praying for a move of God, and you've been praying for a move of us. If we'd only move, in him we live and move and have our being. We just stir ourselves up. I pray that, Father, every person here would stir up the gifts of God inside them, not wait for someone else to stir them up. Lord, that you live in us, the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in us. And, Father, we need a personal revival. We'll never see any other kind of revival until we have one in our heart. That we stir up and that we trust in you so that, Father, we cannot help but tell someone else. I thank you for this precious time. I thank you, Lord God, that there's not a packed crowd and a lot of hype and a lot of... I thank you that, Lord God, that you're imparting every time your word is spoken and goes forth, that it's falling into good ground. And it will take root, and it will bring forth much fruit in our lives, in this church, in this community. Thank you, Jesus. Here am I, send me. Everybody say that that's willing. Say, here am I, send me. You know, you're loaded with the Word of God. I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, you have more than enough to evangelize this city. You have more than enough to evangelize this county. You have more than enough of me in you to evangelize this state and this nation and this world. You have more than enough. Just begin to move and begin to speak and begin to let people that you come in contact with taste and see that I, the Lord God, am good. Begin to declare my word, saith the Lord. Begin to speak the word of God to those that are hurting, that I came to heal, that I came to set free, and that by my stripes and the stripes I bore in my body, says the Lord, you are healed. You are healed. Thank you, Jesus. I believe there's someone struggling with that. because you have pain, because you have symptoms. But you know, you need to get on that solid ground where you declare, I will not be moved. I will not be moved. I am healed. It is written, I am healed. It is written, by whose stripes you were healed. I am healed. I am whole. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I ask you for a manifestation of that healing. Everybody needs a healing in your body. I want you to lift your hands up right where you are. Thank you, Father. Lord, I thank you for a manifestation of healing. Father, we've already received it. You said when we pray, believe we receive it, we'll have it. So, Father, right now, by faith, we grab hold on your word. In Jesus' name, I ask you, Father, for a manifestation of that healing. Right now, we believe it's ours, Father. Now, we believe for the manifestation. And we rejoice in you. I ask you, Father God, to cause warts to fall off, cause tumors to dry up and leave. Father God, cause tears, cause moles, cause every kind of growth and tumor, dry up and die at the root, and go back into the pit where you came from. In Jesus' name, I speak to arthritis. I command you to go right now. You have no place in the children of God. Cancer, go in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus Christ, by the authority of Jesus Christ, I command diabetes to go back into the pit. Every good and every perfect gift comes from God. You're no part of us. Every disease, every sickness, go. You have no place. You have no place and you have no right here. In Jesus' name, be healed. By the authority of Jesus Christ, manifestation now. Right now. Now faith is. And Father, we believe you for it. Just shout. Just give the Lord a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.